I'm proud to say that my name appears on a new book along with Napoleon Hill's name. The book is called Truthful Living, and it's yours for the clicking. It's not just a book. It's the very foundation of Napoleon Hill's self-help legacy. His long-lost original notes, letters, and lectures, now compiled, edited, and annotated for the modern reader.
In Truthful Living, Jeffrey has captured Hill's foundational wisdom for the 21st century. These easy-to-implement, real-world strategies for life, family, business, and the bottom line prove as energizing and inspiring today as they were nearly 100 years ago.
Go to Amazon, click on the link, own the book in any format you like, but read it, study it, and put it into your life.
It's time for a Sales Manager Spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary. All right, diehards, I am excited to welcome Lauren Merman. She's a partner with Bianco DeRosa Tolman Post Partners within the Private Wealth Management Division of UBS Financial Services. Lauren has had over 15 years of success within the securities industry, including branch management. For the past 7 years, she's been helping her clients set and reach, I bet also exceed, their financial goals while navigating through major transitions in their business and personal lives. Please
welcome,
help me welcome Lauren.
So, hey, Lauren, why don't when you have a firm name with a bunch of names at the end of it, why don't you end it with Ziggy? You know what I mean? Just, Bianco, DeRosa, Tolman, Post, and Ziggy. I love – it just adds a little bit of flavor to it. You know what I mean? You know,
who's gonna, Ziggy? I want to talk to Ziggy, and no one can ever talk to Ziggy.
If you watch
I
the Honeymooners
– there,
if you watch the Honeymooners, there's one episode where they reel off the name of a law firm and Ed Norton ends it with Ziggy. Just try to find it. It's hysterical.
Well, when I play this podcast for them – we'll then bring it up in the team meeting.
I'm sure they will.
Oh, man. So, Lauren, did you always want to go into financial services? Like, was this your dream when you were five? How did this come about?
So, it was really about when I was 15 and my father had passed away. He died at 49 of non-smoker's lung cancer.
Whoa.
And within 2 weeks of being diagnosed, he had passed away.
Oh.
And I remember the insurance company coming over because he had just took out a policy about a year ago. And they interviewed my mother because they thought that he had a pre-existing condition and they didn't want to pay out this life insurance policy.
Right. Dude, that's a surprise.
Right.
Right. So finally, we got the money and my mother was a stay-at-home mother. And she just didn't know what to do. And from then on, I was 16, and we went through a budget, her expenses, what the income we were going to make from the policy, and it just started from there, from the time I was 16 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were thrown into it.
Yeah. So I just, it's kind of like my, I don't want to say my calling, but it just, life happens, and you do what you need to do to adjust to life, and that's what I did. And that's what I do for our clients and my clients.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a great life story. And I'll tell you, if it seems as though if you tell the client that, the new client that you're trying to bring on, there's some taglines that I could share with you if you pay the right fee that I think would help you close almost everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, the whole thing about your service and your industry is that trust is at the fulcrum point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trusting you with my money.
Money.
And I'm not trusting your company to invest wisely.
Yeah.
That's a given. I have to trust you not to mismanage it.
Not always a given, but yeah, you would hope that it's always a given,
mm-hmm.
That you trust and that they're going to do what's right by you. But we are fiduciaries for our clients, and we do what's best for them and their family. We treat every client like I treat my family, as how we treat them.
So there are so many people out there, entrepreneurs, you know, salespeople, but mainly entrepreneurs who are great at their craft, great at, for example, managing money. And then they don't realize that, well, I can do the service, but now I have to go sell it. So trust is one factor, but you grew up being great at managing your family money and then beginning to manage other people's money. When did you realize, wait, I'm also in sales?
You know, that's a very good question. Probably about 3 years ago. Whoa. That I realized that. Not that
wait,
long TV, ago.
Wait.
Yeah.
You finally woke up one ago. Morning and go, holy shit, I got to make a sale.
It just happened organically for me. It just was an organic process in my mind. It was never, I'm a salesperson. It was always, I just was focusing on doing
advisor.
Right by clients, yeah. And by people, that it was never, oh my God, I need to make a sale.
Mm-hmm.
It just was never my process.
You don't need to
what
make
changed?
A sale. Hold on. You don't need to make a sale. You need to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you need to help
people
with their money.
And that's what I think about. And I don't
But if she doesn't have enough people to help.
Well, that's because she doesn't post enough stuff on LinkedIn. But there's or you're not doing enough interviews with your customers to find out where they came from so they can send it to their friends so they can call you. That's the whole essence of it.
Or
there is a whole nother part of the business that does need to be cultivated that you talk about in your podcast and in your books that certainly can be cultivated. But a lot of our client referrals is from existing clients and from centers of influences. But as I said, there is a whole nother area that can be cultivated to really, you know, take the business to another level. Yes.
That's cool.
But yeah, is it crazy that it was just like recently I was like, oh yeah, I'm a salesperson. It just was helping people.
I think that shows how genuine you are
about
it.
And the team itself, we're not, and Jeffrey, I'm sure you're going to, you know, disagree to an extent in a way. We don't look at ourselves as salespeople. We look at ourselves where if we can help you and you want to take our recommendations and you want to take it somewhere else for, you know, let's say a lower fee, then you're not the right client for us. So we really
right.
have.
We want you to pay Mr. Jones. We are going to give you great recommendations and our fees are high and we expect both. Take them, pay them.
And our fees are our fees. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. So a lot of our clients have come to us. They had an liquidity event. Maybe they sold the business. Maybe they're entrepreneurs. Maybe they had a divorce and they received a payout. Maybe their spouse
Or they had
died,
to make a payout.
Or mm-hmm. they had to make a payout.
Mm-hmm.
And what can I do? How do I live off of this?
Yeah.
I just want to keep it.
Yeah.
How do we do that? Titling, we work, you
and
know,
you can
a lot
start
with.
You can start your presentation by saying, let me tell you what happened to me 25 years ago.
Yeah. It's a big part of what I do.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, 'cause it's a part of who I am.
No, but it's brilliant. And it's the perfect peace of mind statement.
Yeah. So
it's like you're giving yourself a testimonial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So thinking back to that, what are the first things that people need to come up with and think through when they're creating their own financial plan?
What are their goals? What are their goals and what do they have mm-hmm. and what do they spend? Because you and I, Jennifer, can make the same amount of money. If you're spending tenfold what I'm spending,
she
and
is.
I'm saving yeah, more, yeah. right? Like, right. And that's an offline conversation.
Yeah, no. Yeah, because right. It might be 11-fold if I ever looked at the numbers.
So, Jeffrey, I can hire you and you can hire me. Maybe the fees net himself out and we can then we can see
hey,
from there.
Hey, I'm a saver.
Yeah.
I don't buy anything.
Yeah. No, of course not.
All right. So, okay. So what are your goals? Let's hear that again. What are your goals?
So what are your, where are you now? Right. So mm-hmm. we need to know, you know, age, occupation, income, what do you have and where you want to be? So where do you want to, are you looking in retirement mode? Are you looking at bar and bat mitzvahs? Are you looking at weddings? Are you looking at buying a house? So it's all about where your goals are. And then we get into how are we going to get there? Mm-hmm. What do we need to do? What do we need to invest in to get you?
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. How does that differ from any other financial planner who's pretty much going to do the same thing?
We do much more in-depth financial planning. I will say that we want to know your, if you have an insurance policy on your boat, we want to know what it is. Your cars, your collectibles. And we, it's customized. And then we make sure, by the way, if you're talking about titling of assets, if you have revocable living trusts, your assets are then titled in your revocable living trusts. You can have the best laid out plan. If your life is not following that plan, then it just doesn't work. It's a whole process. We work with your CPA, we work with your trust and estate attorney, and we work on your investments.
So it sounds like for these people, you're corralling a group of their most trusted advisors.
Yes. So we are very holistic. We work very well with their trusted advisors.
That's cool.
To get a life plan, holistic planning for them, not just, oh, hey, should I buy Facebook? And what do you think of Microsoft?
Uh-huh.
It's much greater than that. So a lot of financial planners wanted, you know, I looked at one last week for a prospect. I'm not going to say the company. They
come
didn't
on,
know.
What does it rhyme with?
Right.
Come on, tell me.
Right. So the, I just lost my train of thought. So they didn't know much about this, you know, they didn't know much about the prospect. He made $200,000 a year. He had $1.5 million in a SEP, and this company made a really great financial plan for them, and they should be in a balanced portfolio, 60-40. That's great. They don't know anything about him. He didn't even know his real income. Yeah. So wow. A lot of these people think, oh yeah, you know, this is financial planning. It's all very on the surface. They have a model. All the companies have their model. They plug in some numbers and data, and there's data output.
Right. So
control the input and the output.
So you're going to differentiate by adding the human element, number one.
Yes.
And number two, you're going to customize your
yes.
response based on not just what they have, but their lifestyle.
Mm. Very important. The lifestyle is very important.
Right. Yeah. I'm used to a lifestyle.
Yes.
Jen's used to a lifestyle. I don't want to curtail my lifestyle based on the fact that you can only get me 12 grand a year. I want 52 grand a year.
Right. We could very well tell you, you know what, Jeffrey? You're going to have to work another 5 to 7 years in order to keep up your lifestyle.
You're going to be working a lot longer than that, honey.
Right. So some people don't love our response. It's really an interesting moment.
Right.
We have
wow.
them
oh, that's so
we
interesting.
We have to tell them, yes, we can't, you know, you can't rely on the markets too much because they go up and down.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you're going to say, Mr. Jones, these are your choices. Over here are the good choices, and over here are the tough shit choices.
Right. Behind door yeah. number one is less
yeah.
spending.
Right. Behind door. Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do.
That's cool. That's
yeah,
cool.
It's a great model.
So 60% of women, 60% of women are becoming breadwinners. Now what?
But they're still leaving. 56% of women, 61% of millennial women are still leaving investment decisions to their husbands.
Whoa.
So they're at this point where they're working, they're making money, but investment decisions are still going to their husbands. But then what's happening is that at some point, women are going to be alone managing our spouses, our money, excuse me, because their spouses are going to be divorced.
They're not going to be alone if they have a trusted advisor.
Well, I think that's the problem,
correct.
Is
that's
that they don't.
Right.
Wow.
So if your husband,
they don't know, or they don't know their trusted advisor, they don't feel comfortable with their trusted advisor because they have said, okay, honey, you deal with, you know, you take care of the finances. It's a,
okay, honey is no longer an acceptable phrase, but neither is what do you think, honey?
Correct. Correct. I don't do that to my honey.
I can only imagine.
Well, I would imagine you might be the money manager.
That guy sits down with a seatbelt at dinner.
So, Lauren, not to get too personal, but I know you have kids.
Yes.
How many and how much do you spend on them every week?
Oh, my goodness. I have almost 5-year-old twins.
Oh, cool.
Kindergarten in September. I recently, about 3 years ago, I bought a house in New Jersey and I work in Rockefeller Center. So life is crazy. Life is hectic.
So my twins are 46. So if you need twin advice, are they boys
or
girls?
You're not supposed to mention girls' ages.
Oh.
I have a boy and a girl. What about you?
I have two girls. They're like Pete and Repeat.
Right. Okay. So seeing as though you're raising twins and 5-year-olds, what advice do you give your kids regarding money, or what do you plan to give them? What kind of advice do you plan to give them as you're raising them with regards to money that maybe you didn't grow up with, or that's different and that's changed with the times?
And do they have iPhones?
At 5.
They do not have iPhones. They have no technology. Now they watch TV, but they don't have technology at their fingertips. It's funny. My daughter thinks that going to work is an ATM.
Oh.
She wants something. I'll say, you know, her name is Harper. Harper, that costs money. And she said, oh, you just go to work. So, right. You know, or if we're at the toy store, she'll say, how many dollars is that?
Wow.
So I don't want them to think that, you know, we have no money to do things, but I don't want them to think that there's an unlimited budget just to go out and get whatever they want. So they're at an age where they're starting to understand it. And we're also at the age of a debit card. So I try to have cash on me to show them this is, you know, you go to the ATM, you take out money, and then you go use it at a store for food, for toys.
That's an interesting concept, to show them the money being used rather than just swiping the plastic.
Just swiping it, because then it's all right. You swipe credit cards, you swipe debit cards. Everything is just a click away. But if you show them, okay, you can go to the ATM, you can get money, or you go to the teller. We also go see the teller at Wells Fargo also, where, you know, my checking account is. And we say hello to the woman, we get cash, and I try to, you know, teach them to be, you know, responsible as much as I can for a 5-year-old. But that concept will just keep going as they get older.
That's cool. It's when important. Do you think is the right age to begin like a money plan with your kids?
As soon as possible. I mean, any age, you know, you just have to tailor it. You have to make it a little more advanced as they get older. UBS does have a very good financial education program. That
for children?
For children.
Because when we go to Target, my daughter says, what's my budget?
Right.
There's an expected budget.
Yeah. Like you can spend $30 today at Target. Yeah, exactly. So it's all about, right, planning. It's all about budgeting.
That's cool.
I'm a cheaper bastard than that. I go for like 10 bucks.
Well, so I realized.
Because they'll say, no clothes, Dad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Smart. I realize it doesn't matter how much the tooth fairy leaves under the pillow. It's what it costs you to utilize those dollars for a toy. So the tooth fairy could leave a dollar, but, you know, when they're young, they don't know what that means. So they go to the toy store and they want, you know, whatever they want. So it's, you know, we have to teach that as well.
That's cool.
Yep. But there is an old expression. Thank God you can afford it.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So
it's all relative. Yes.
I appreciate my time with you today. And I'm going to
has been great.
Yeah.
This has been a great interview. We got great nuggets of information.
We expect you down to Charlotte within the next week to come get our money.
Yes. But Lauren, where do people find out more information and contact you if they're interested in getting more, you know, learning more, working with you, that kind of thing?
Well, they can email me at anytime at lauren.merman@ubs.com.
Okay. And we'll put that in the show notes as
sure.
well.
Yeah. Cool. Call me, email, LinkedIn, anything.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Okay.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks for having me.
Our
Thank
people
you.
Will call your people.
All right. Sounds good.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.